Yeah.
Check it out.
See, the only thing you need to do right here is snarl your freaking head.
Yeah, boy, it's August 15th, and it's episode 179, and this is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast, the official podcast of the fantasyfootballauction.com, the internet's only website dedicated to fantasy football auctions. We've got a great show for you tonight. Tonight's the wide receiver special. We're going to break down tiers and some drafting strategies when it comes to the wide receiver position this year. We're also going to answer some Twitter questions like we've been doing each and every week or every episode for the last, I don't know, dozen or so. But of course, our analysts, they're always here. Well, they're not always here. Actually, one is here and hopefully the other one's going to tap in here pretty soon. So Blister, he's kind of busy at the moment, but Slim, he got his lazy ass off the couch and he's ready to pod tonight. Slim, how's it going tonight?
Will the real Slim Sadie please stand up? I repeat, will the real Slim Sadie please stand up? We're going to have a problem here.
It's going good. I was actually watching a flick with my oldest kid and finally went to bed and then I realized, I think we were supposed to be podcasting today.
Well, that was a good message that popped up all of a sudden. Hey, are we supposed to be podcasting? And then I'm like, oh yeah, it's Wednesday. I didn't even know it was Wednesday.
I mean,
like Churney says, I'm always on vacation. So, or Churney. Jesus. Sorry, it's bringing back your past there, Slim.
Yeah, it was fond memories.
Fond memories being out there. Yep. I actually speaking of the, just being in the rural areas and whatever, I had, the nice little, fantasy football moment. So we talked about it around our house, how that movie Tag, where those old guys are playing tag and they've been doing it forever. And the moral of the story is it's not about the tag. It's about bringing friends together. And I make the joke, well, not the joke, but I say that fantasy football, that's what it's our version of it, right? And the dynasty in particular. So this other dynasty that I opened up last year, the back. Yep. To back jacks with all of my buddies from, well, one from one end of the world to the other end of the country. We had a nice little moment here, Slim. We had my one buddy was in my wedding party who I haven't seen in like 18 years. He went out to Calgary. He met the brother-in-laws that are in the league. Ironically, though, he didn't realize they were my brother-in-laws. He didn't even know their first names. He only knew their names as they are in our group chat in the lineup. Yeah. So he only knew the one guy is Sledge. He knew his last name was Hammer and the other guy is Rico Suave on there. So he only knew him as Rico. So he went out and he met them and they went to the racetrack or whatever. But as he pulled up and my sister-in-law walks out of the house, he just like the record player scratched and he's like, is that Shane Swipe? What? Oh, and then he put it together that these guys are my brother-in-laws. But he went out to Calgary. He was out there with his family and whatever. And then he drove back through and then he came through here too. And we had a good night, went to the VU and did whatever. And then he headed home. But it was a cool little fantasy football moment that I've got this guy going across the country now and meeting guys in the league that he's never met before. And I actually had no idea the connection that he had because he's met the sister-in-laws before. But
Right. Anyways,
it was good.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was good. And that night, I did get to drink Romanian moonshine, which was,
sounds like not yeah. good.
It was some day. Hooch that some Romanian guy who actually like he brews or distills in his house. And it came in like a plastic bottle. Like it was a little shady, but it was okay. When you're a few beers in, hey, what's wrong with the Romanian moonshine? That sounds like a hashtag what's wrong. Well, it felt for a little bit like I was blind, but I think that might have been the beer and the shots and that we're doing it. Anyways, off track. Okay. Nice. So we should get this thing rolling. If Blister pops in, then he pops in. If not, then He deserves a high five is what I'm saying, because he's doing more than we are. Anyways, so if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. All right, so like I said, we got a good show tonight. We're going to go through the wide receiver position, talk about some tiers, talk about some drafting strategies. Of course, before we get into that, we just want to thank everybody for the mock auction drafts that have been coming in, and it's been busy. That I have that notification on my phone, and ding, 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 everybody's sending in mock drafts. So it's awesome that they're doing that. It's helping us get the most accurate auction values out there. I did have somebody asking me again the other day about the auction values and that type of thing. And, you know, I said, well, they're getting tweaked all the time because we've got these mock auctions coming in, and then Slim feeds his way through there. And I need to figure out a way to not automate that, Slim, but a way of getting it exported into a spreadsheet a little bit easier. So you'd be able to see Antonio Brown across 10 mocks.
Yeah, that would be.
I know. Beautiful. Instead of just, I just don't know how to do it. There's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. So anyways, I'll try to figure that out. But thanks everyone for sending those in. As you send them in, you get your name entered into a weekly contest for a free membership to the website. So every time you send in a result, you get the entry into the website. So you send your results to auctionmockdraft@gmail.com, and we'll put your name in the hat. So last week's winner is Jonathan Myers. So we'd like to thank Jonathan for all of the information he's been sending us, and it was a lot. Hey, Slim.
Yeah, there was.
Dude's been mocking.
He hasn't done shit at work.
So don't tell his boss. Hopefully, his boss doesn't listen to the pod. Do you think his boss does?
Doubtful.
Or his wife, one or the other. Or I mean, because there's not a lot of that's more doubtful. Yeah. Hey, so thanks a lot, Jonathan. So if you want to send us your mock auction info, or real auction info, which would be even better because it doesn't have the bots included in it.
Well, and we've been getting some real drafts coming in, and I find it is much more helpful. So,
and you've been utilizing some of the stuff from Dataforce too, right? Which has a little bit more of the sharks that are playing over there. So you're getting some.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can't see what the buy-ins are for the various leagues, but
yeah,
I mean, it ranges anywhere from 50 to, I think, or maybe 75 to 1,000, I think, even.
I think so, yeah. So, I played in one last year.
Yeah, you definitely see a lot different trends than you do in the major sites' mock draft lobbies.
Right. So you're utilizing all of that and then using your judgment even, right, to try to find the happy medium between the two, right?
Well, that's kind of been the trick has been to try and, not to say skew, but, figure out which ones are, exactly. I've been starting to, now that I've been getting more data for actual real drafts, trying to, temper, skew, whatever you want to say, the results to that more to that instead of just the pure mock drafts where the trend is people just go bananas at the beginning.
Right.
I feel like the real drafts will obviously have a more realistic prices. So that should be reflective in our AAVs, even though there's a lot less of those than there are of the mock drafts that have been submitted. So,
well, and things were pretty good. Like, speaking of live drafts, Blister and I recorded some of us the other night with our buddy Vic was on, and there was a moment there where we were running two drafts at the same time. The back end of the one, which was tricky because you wanted to make sure you're getting your $1 and $2 guys. And then the front end of the other one, which was tricky because you wanted to make sure you're getting your right other guys, right? The high end guys. So it was tricky in that regards to do it. So we waited till the one draft was over so that we could get on the pod. Otherwise we're podding and we're trying to run two drafts, and it was a little bit tricky. But in the live drafts, Slim, I did notice that in both of them, there was a lot of what does the site have the guy valued at? And then, you know, they were almost on auto bid to get to that point, which was nice. When you're a little bit smart, you can use that to your advantage, right?
Yes, for sure.
I did get caught in a situation though in the second draft when I was kind of pretending to be involved in Alvin Kamara and thinking that he was going to go to the 52 or the 55 or whatever it was on the site. And I got him for 49. I was happy to get him for 49, but my plan was to go, I was going to attempt this RB zero idea. And I actually had budgeted $20 for my running backs. And then I was going to go get like two top five wide receivers and see what was going to happen. And I'm like, oh,
rule number seven.
Yeah.
Don't price enforce if you can't, if you
don't. Well, it wasn't even price enforcing because the idea, Slim, was that I was going to be $10 before the end point. So it wasn't even price enforcing. But what I was trying to do was, show people that, oh, maybe he's interested in getting a big name running back, right?
Yeah.
I was just trying to kind of.
Yeah, I would have done it too. I do that shit all the time.
Tip my hat. Yeah, I was just trying to tip my hat like, haha, look at it. I'm looking for high end running backs and then I'm not.
Yeah.
So I was involved in the first couple of big names that went out there, but not to any high level. And I thought, well, 49 is not really that high of level. Sure, I'll click on it. He's going to go for $5 more, but people are going to think like, ooh, boy, look at that. Cause on the Yahoo, which was really interesting, Slim, is in the, side pane, it shows the, what everybody's last bid was.
Oh yeah.
So you can see on the side, even if I only put 17 and the guy ends up going for 60, still shows my 17. So you can actually, if you're paying attention, take a look and maybe, you know, get a look at what some guys' budgets are. So I thought that was actually pretty handy over there to see like, oh geez, who's bidding me up here? Who's bidding me up here? And you could see the three guys rather than just the last bid. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a nice addition. I don't remember that from last year. Maybe it was there last year, but I don't remember it from last year. But anyways, we did do that draft. We did do the pod. I apologize live right now for the atrocious audio. I thought I had the mic set up properly and I guess I didn't. So anyways, hopefully we didn't have ear damage or, you know, unsubscribing because I can't believe the quality of this. But anyways, that's that.
They were
forewarned. So anyways, if you want to send us your mock auction stuff, just send it to auctionmockdraft@gmail.com. Get your name entered in. Tonight I'll send Jonathan Myers, I'll send out his free link to the auctioneer level, the $15 level of the website, and we'll get that all taken care of. So Slim, let's get into this. Let's go to our first segment, which we've been running lots of. This one's called We Just Got a Letter.
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I'll be coming back to you.
So we just got a letter, or we got some tweets. We've got three of them here. It's some pretty impromptu. We forgot we were supposed to be potting tonight, but we still ended up some questions because we've got great followers on Twitter, Slim.
Yes, we do.
We do. Anyway, so, the best out there. So here we go. We're going to the first one. This is at Lee Fife. His question is this. Should he keep Diggs for $31? It's a $200 budget. Slim, what do you think?
In a vacuum? Yes, I would do that. These questions are always tough. So we get a lot of these keeper questions, and I guess anybody who's listening, if you're going to send them, it helps to kind of have a rough idea of who you think or if you already know players that are going to be kept or not. So, I mean, the price, like $31 for me, that's like bang on what he should be. I know I'm a little bit higher on Diggs than maybe a lot of other people. But like, I think he's a top 12 wide receiver. I don't mind paying that then for him. So yeah, I think that's a pretty good deal for a guy like that.
And our AAV on him is, $27. And when it's a keeper, it changes things a lot. Like we ran the keeper auction the other night. I was telling you when we're off the air and there was two running backs that went for $86.
Yeah.
And I mean, in a regular draft, that's not happening. But if last year you drafted Kamara for $1, so you get to keep him for $1, all of a sudden you're willing to spend a ton more for these other players. So that's kind of, it's skewed. So to say for $31, well, you could probably get him in the auction for $31. Why wouldn't you spin him back and save someone else? Well, maybe you don't because those upper tier players get really skewed, eh?
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, he goes for 27, but I have him, like, on our rankings. Actually, you look like you're, well, all of us are pretty high on him. He's our wide receiver 10 on our rankings, and the 10th most expensive wide receiver in terms of average auction value is $31.
Right.
So if you think of it that way, like on our site, he's a $4 value. So paying $31, like I said, I feel like that's kind of bang on right around where what his price should be. So yeah, I don't think you're stretching a lot by doing that.
All right. So let's go on to the next question. Another keeper question for you here, Slim. At Miss Swanson 30, or maybe MS. S. Swanson, I don't know. And then Miss Swanson, that's a kindergarten teacher. A 30-year-old kindergarten teacher, Miss Swanson. She wants to know this. What way would you go with your $200 budget if you could keep Brown for $49?
Well, I mean, if I'm getting arguably the wide receiver one in fantasy, I'm probably going to have to invest in running back. So again, these keeper questions, it's hard to know. If the top 15 running backs are going to be kept, then that changes what you would do. But I would be advocating for going hard after an RB1. Mm-hmm. And then you're probably going to have to look for some values elsewhere. It's not like you're getting Brown at a ridiculously low price. I mean, you're still paying almost $50 for him. So saying you spend maybe $60 on an RB1, then there goes half of your budget or over half your budget right there. So... Right. Again, it's going to come down to, do you want to spend up for a top running back or do you want to go a little bit more RB0? So I would probably kick the tires on some of those top running backs if they're available. Otherwise, then I'd be trying to stream four of them, at a little bit cheaper of a price.
Right. And I mean, he's saving five to $10, really. It's not a huge saving. So it doesn't skew what his regular budget breakdown would be anyways, right? Like it's not a big shift. So maybe you knock $5 off your quarterback if you're, or whatever it is. You know what I mean? All of a sudden you've made your money back. So.
Exactly. You're almost building it like a regular auction.
Regular draft. Yeah. And you just got a little bit of a deal on Brown.
Yep.
Right. So, okay. So let's move on to the third and final question. And we just got a letter. This is at jgibson314. He's asking this, how would you budget for a best ball league? So he's looking at a 12-team PPR, $200 budget, no waivers, and 19 bench spots, deep. So what would you do for a budget there, Slim?
That's a good question. I mean, I think I would want to go early. I would want to spend on at least one or two consistent running backs. And then I would probably pivot to the receivers and I would hit receivers pretty hard.
Yeah.
For the next, maybe my next four picks or so. Obviously you're going to have to buy some of the lesser guys. And I don't mean like lesser as in, you know, wide receiver three types, but I would be trying to pick these high upside, like a guy like Diggs, maybe a guy like Thielen, you know, to try and build that wide receiver core. And then I would kind of go back and I would start hammering kind of running backs again, looking for these cheap kind of high upside guys. And then again, I'd probably follow it back up with wide receiver near the end for really, really cheap, taking some big shots on players like, Taywan Taylor or, maybe even Chris Godwin or Kenny Golladay or something like that. Guys that could potentially, you know, have some big weeks here and there.
Yeah.
A Kenny Stills, even a Ted Ginn or something like that.
Right.
Going real cheap at the very end of your draft.
Well, and I'm thinking guys that, I mean, you're going to have to spend a little bit of money on are going to be guys like Juju or Brandon Cooks, you know, maybe even Sammy Watkins. Like those types of guys are probably going to be inflated prices compared to what our auction values are. Cause a guy like, Juju, you know, in a regular draft, you're like, ah, oh, well, you know, what's his week to week, right? He's going to go off 1 week and then the next week, maybe not so good, but we know that he's capable of getting 2-3 touchdowns in a game off of big plays. And, Tyreek Hill, kind of the same thing, right? So Those are the types of guys that do well in a best ball, but you got to have the roster construction. You got to have the high floor guys, and you got to have those consistent week to week guys. Like, I don't think I'd want to own Aaron Rodgers necessarily in, you know, to pay that kind of money in a best ball, because there's going to be some weeks where he's going to stink.
Yeah, no, right? I definitely
so you're gonna have be to pair that. Yeah, so you could probably have two or three quarterbacks, let's say, that are going to score top 10 week in, week out, where if you just went, I'm going to do Aaron Rodgers and, think he's going to score for me every week. Well, he's obviously going to score for you every week, but it's not always going to be a top five finish for him.
Exactly. No, I wouldn't be paying up for top quarterback. There's a lot of guys you could target a lot later, and especially when you're going to pair up a couple guys. Same with tight end. Especially in a best ball where, you know, you don't really even have to pick. You don't have to make those decisions. You just have them on your roster. I would be trying to probably roster three tight ends and just hoping one of them hits in a given week. And yeah. I think at the top, though, when you're spending your big bucks, you want to try and have as high a floor. And then later on when I'm going cheap, I just want high ceiling. If that makes sense.
Like, yeah.
I want those guys that can just blow up. I know they're not going to do it every week. They don't have to. Just periodically, you know, every 3-4 weeks, give me a big game. Just in case one of my studs is injured or on a bye week or lays an egg in that given week, then hey, I got all of a sudden, thanks, Kenny Stills. You just,
Yeah. And he'd be a good guy for the best.
Thank you very much. But.
Well, and I'm thinking the auction is a nice way to do the best ball league because you can, right? Like in a snake draft, you're all of a sudden they're going to have to pick these guys at certain points because of just where they're going to fall on, you know, the overall ADP. But in a best ball auction, you could do a lot of great work, you know, in building that roster of, you know, high ceiling, high floor, whatever you want to do, you know, a big play guys. So it'd be a lot more interesting to do it as an auction. I wonder if it's a live auction or if it's a slow auction, which would be maybe a little bit tricky that way with five guys on the block. And
yeah, well, as those always are a little bit more. But yeah, I'm not sure. With 19 bench spots, I don't know.
Deep. Well, a lot of $1 guys coming off the board. So it's just a little annoying your flyers, eh?
Yeah. Well, that's it. It's going to be a lot of, you're going to be digging deep.
All right. Well, that's the end of the Twitter questions that we had lined up for tonight. So thanks for sending in those questions. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, we are at Fantasy Auction, and we were talking off the air. We answer everything. So if it can't make it on the Twitter for various reasons, you have to use too many characters or you don't want your league mates to know, which actually is funny. We had a buddy who would really like to make our membership site so that you could pay up and block the rest of your league from getting to the auction values and stuff, which I thought was kind of a neat idea. I don't know how he would do it, but, you know, here are the 10 email addresses of guys who cannot buy memberships. Thoughts on that, Slim?
Oh, well, you've talked about it. I love the idea. I think it would be the ultimate, like, kind of fuck you to everybody else in your league a little bit, just as a joke. I mean,
sure.
And I think there'd be nothing funnier than if you go to sign in and somehow you could rig it up where, like, oh, sorry, so and so from your league, or just has a picture pops up in your computer. Yeah. No.
Yeah, no,
that'd Trevor be says, good. Yeah. I'm on to you.
That'd be funny. Now, what if, because I'm just thinking a business model here, Slim. So, like, what if then you said, okay, well, if you want to get it, now you got to pay up on the membership to get in. Like, you're blocked, but now it's kind of like it's like an auction. The guy says, well, they will block them for 50, and the guy says, all right, I'll give you 55 so I can get in. The guy says, fine, I'll block you for 60. Well,
now you might be onto something. Yep.
The auction level membership. Ooh.
Next year.
Fancy. Yeah. All right. We'll have to look into that. I don't even know what that would look like, but that's cool. Anyways. Okay. So today's podcast is really going to isolate around the wide receiver position. We're going to take a look at our tiers and some draft strategies. We'll even talk about like the live draft I was in the other day, the two of them, and just what was happening at the wide receiver position. So we could look at it that way as well. So if we're looking at wide receivers, Slim, and I'm just going to pull yours up and Blister's up here because you have them laid out just a little bit different. In Blister's top tier, this is as he has labeled as elite from the $50 to $62 mark, which I'm going to guess is, well, it's a little bit different yours because he has a little bit bigger. He's got Browns, Hopkins, Mike Thomas, Odell Beckham Jr. He's got Keenan Allen and Julio Jones. So he's running six in that top tier. You, on the other hand, Slim, you've got three guys. You got AB, Nuke, and Mike Tom. Those guys are in your top tier. Why limit it to just the three? What's going on there?
Well, again, I do mine a lot different than Blister. I go by what I expect from fantasy points.
Right.
Yeah, if you go by price, there should be more in there. If you're going by over 50, obviously, then Odell's in there and probably Julio. But yeah, I think in this top tier, these three guys, I think, get over 300 fantasy points. To me, Antonio's a lock to do that. DeAndre and Michael Thomas might be flirting with doing it, but I still think that both have the ability to do just that. So those guys are kind of in all by themselves. If I wanted to break it down, to me, like, Antonio's the safest in that tier.
Right.
But
so I picked up Michael Thomas in the draft the other night. I paired him up. I stacked him.
Yes.
With Drew Brees and to boot
and Kamara,
which I wasn't necessarily planning on doing, but I don't mind the stack of the three of them. What do you think about that strategy?
No, I mean, we talked about it. Your teams to prolific offenses.
Yeah. And,
I mean, I like all three of those guys. I think I've got Drew Brees as my quarterback three in fantasy, which is probably a little hot takey maybe for some, but.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah, you do have them at threes, but I had money, so I paid like $6 for Brees, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, hey, I wasn't necessarily doing it to be the stack, but I was more than happy because I think he's got the upside to be, you know, the top one, two, three in fantasy this year. And I thought, so every time Mike Thomas scores, Drew Brees is going to score, and half the time Kamara's going to score, it's going to be coming out of Drew Brees too, right?
Well, that's it, right? Exactly it.
And we'd get those questions sometimes, like, do you stack? Do you get a running back and a receiver? We just had that the other day, right? Do you take the, you know, Lev Bell and Antonio Brown? Absolutely. Do you take Kamara and Mike Tom? Yeah. And you know what? I took even Drew Brees. So I'm cheering for the Saints in the regular season. And then, well, there's no way the Cowboys are going to even make it to the playoffs, so it doesn't really matter. Now, we did have some talk about that. We'll get to that a little bit later, but there was some talk in the auction, like live, like what do you do at the receiver position with those Cowboys, but we can move on to there. So in a little bit, but so I'm a little bit more like Blister when it comes to my tiers, looking more at the dollar values and then kind of trying to find a natural break in the dollar value and also in what I think is going to be, production. So in my top group, I have five. I've got Antonio Brown, Hopkins, Keenan Allen, Odell, and Mike Thomas. And so I have the break there at Devontae Adams in the separation point there because I'm thinking about $50 for Mike Thomas and up for everybody else. But then I also think there's a production tier break there too with Mike Tom and Devontae Adams. So that's why I kind of set that bar in that regards. And in this draft, I was really hoping that we just did. I was really hoping to get a couple of those top five guys. And as I was mentioning off the air I guess we mentioned in earlier tonight in the pod too, I got Kamara and it just rearranged everything. So I was going to go RB0. So I really thought, you know what? I'm going to go, with, you know, Crowell and Lynch, and I'm going to try to do that and then hit some guys later on the bench that might be able to fill later, and then just hammer wide receivers. And I just wanted to see what my team was going to look like and if I would have the testicular fortitude to do that in a real draft. And of course, I was just trying to be fancy with my bidding, and I couldn't do it. So what it is. So anyways, it's all good. Actually, I really enjoyed the team. I ended up with money on the table, but I think it's because I got deals everywhere else. Of course, I always have money on the table, but I don't think I would, like, I like the construction of my team. And so I just happen to have money left over. Like, I mean, you don't have to spend it. So, and I could go, oh, I could have spent a little bit more for so-and-so, but in the moment, I liked where it was going. So I was okay, even though I ended up with quite a few bucks on the,
Here's something I was actually thinking about with speaking of money left on the table. And I meant to make like a little note, even on my phone or something. And I never did. So I'm glad you brought this up because it made me remember it. But for me, what at the end of drafts, and maybe it's something you do on your own, just intuitively, I think I'm going to make a conscious effort to, because you always run into this at the very end. There's these guys that you like that you like, oh man, but I only want to spend a dollar. So do I throw them out there hoping to get them for a buck? And if someone upbids me, I'm fucked. I can't get them.
Yeah.
So either budget a couple bucks at every position and just keep pushing it down, which I think most of us probably do, wouldn't it? When you notice you have some money left, you start bumping up. But what I was thinking even was if I'm not sure I can get them, I might just not nominate him at all. And either A, someone else nominates that player and I try and get him for two, or I just don't ever nominate them. And I just first waiver run, I just pick them up there.
Right.
And then I can spend whatever I want instead of always trying to sneak in those guys. And cause I do this all the time. I just thought of it. I always want to leave the draft with all the guys I like.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, you know what? I'm not going to risk it. Fuck it. I'll wait until the waivers for first waiver run when I have my unlimited fab and I'll just go and make an aggressive play there instead of trying to like maybe a 50-50 chance of getting them for whatever I have left in my budget, whether it's a dollar or $2 in the draft itself. And always trying to be the last guy to be filling out your roster too. Because then when everyone's done, you can take any guy you want. You have zero competition.
That's right.
Like I can nominate all the guys that I like and I know I'm going to get them. So if I can be that last guy that I have to fill up three roster spots, I'm taking three guys that I like as flyers and there's nothing anyone can do about it.
That's
so trying to always time it so that you are the last guy to finish the draft essentially.
Right. Right. Okay. Well,
and
hey.
I've never actually thought about being that last guy, but I'm thinking it's not a bad position to be in. Like,
you no, it's not.
Control a lot of, you can just ensure that you're adding all the players you like instead of, cause we've done this.
Sure.
You've nominated a guy for a buck that you don't even want because you're scared to nominate the guys that you do. And then you get those guys and you're like, gosh, for Christ's sake, what am I going to do? I got to drop this guy.
Yeah. And then you're like, okay, well, this guy I really do want. And it's later you nominate him for two thinking no one's going to go for three. And then someone goes for three and you're like, damn it.
Yeah.
Now what am I going to do?
Exactly.
I can't go to three because I'm at, a dollar and a quarter per guy or whatever it is. So okay. Well, hey, I'll be watching for it in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Keep your mouth shut.
Keep my mouth shut. You're only broadcasting.
I know what he's doing here.
Broadcasting it to,
our league doesn't listen.
Well, you're right. No one does. They used to. It used to be a big thing, right? And then, they get better info other where. No, they don't, but that's okay. Well, you can't say they get better info other places because, Blister runs the show when it comes to our leagues now. So,
been hot. Yep.
Yeah. It's been hot. I do though, Slim, in my new bar here, as I'm staring at it right now, have my trophy up from, it's a long time ago now, 2015 or 2013 with Jamal Charles as my MVP of the roster.
So mine's buried in a box underneath my bar. I just had to dig it out actually. I'm going to put it up though.
I've got it proudly displayed on a shelf.
I'm putting mine up. Yeah, my wife packaged it all up when we painted the basement, and it's never come out. So,
oh, come on. You got to take that out.
I am. I'm going right. to. You just reminded me. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, let's move on to tier two here, Slim. For you, you've got Keenan Allen, Odell Beckham, AJ Green, and Julio Jones, and Devontae Adams, which is a couple of guys that Blister had over there. But he includes in his tier two Baldwin and T.Y. Hilton, which I think is interesting. There's a couple of high guys there. But so for you, Slim, this is based purely on projections in this tier. I like that. I think there's a lot of potential in this tier for you to find that auction you.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of where it happens, I find. Especially at wide receiver, I feel like it happens more there. I mean, here's the thing, and this is where it's hard to compare a little bit because we do.
Do them differently, yeah.
And I'll just, I guess, to say, like, for me, doing it this way, to me, seems the most intuitive for what I'm looking for. Because what I like to do when I go into the draft with these tiers, I can look and say, okay, to me, these guys are all going to finish within 30 points of each other, say, or 20 points, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So I can very easily just look at the prices and say, okay, who's cheap? Check, check, check. These are the guys that I'm going to target. Who's expensive? Check, check, check. These are the guys I'm going to avoid. And then you can start making those choices. Maybe, you know, if there's an expensive guy left in tier three and a cheap guy left in tier four, now it's okay. Well, do I pay a little bit more for some, a little more production, or do I just go cheaper and probably lose 40 fantasy points in a season?
Right. Like,
you start going into that. But I mean, I know you guys like to go on price.
Yeah.
I mean, I still like to do it on price, but I want to be able to see.
And it's not always on
the same amount.
Yeah.
And then I can use the price to say, well, then I have to target this guy. If these two guys are going to score the same fantasy points and this guy's $5 cheaper, then I should be targeting this guy. But
right.
I mean, that's, I just like being able to compare for the production and then, like I said, use the price to start weeding out. And it helps me nominate too.
Right.
Oh yeah, this guy's really expensive in this tier. There's no way I'll ever probably buy him. I'm going to nominate this chump really early, but.
Well, and I do mine on price, but not always on price. My tier two has, Devontae Adams, AJ Green, Julio Jones, Mike Evans. I still have Doug Baldwin sitting in there, Larry Fitz, Diggs, and, T.Y. Hilton. Right. I have them in that tier, but right now, if we look at AAVs, it's definitely, there's a large discrepancy, right? There's a $15-$17 gap for sure on Devontae Adams to, T.Y. Hilton. So I do have them with my ranks, but then also with that, and I just see the natural break, like, I would clearly want one of those guys before I want Demaryius Thomas or Adam Thielen that are to start my tier three. So that's where I kind of make that break. But I do have the dollar values there because I think it's relevant to have the AAVs attached to these players. That's why I make it like a cheat sheet like that.
I think you have to, right? Like, I mean, that's the whole point is how can you determine if there's a value? I mean, you need the price. Obviously factor into that. Like that's the one thing that has to go into it.
Question that a lot of people are wondering then is, I mean, it, with this being the year, the running back, et cetera, where are you starting to target guys? Like right now, if we were going to draft tonight, which I mean, every draft is different, but if we were going to draft tonight, Slim, are you going to tier one guys? Are you targeting tier two guys? Are you waiting to do a bunch of tier three guys? Like, what are you looking at?
I'll target tier one all the way through. I think, we talked about this on our running back pod. Running back is going to dictate what you do. I don't foresee myself ever spending anything like $65 or more on a running back.
Right.
So that being said, I think it still puts me in play for a guy like Mike Thomas. Probably not Antonio Brown or Hopkins. So Mike Thomas still falls in my tier one. Mm-hmm. And again, if there's a value, like even if Antonio Brown goes for a lot less than I think he's going to go for, then I'm buying him and I will adjust. Like, so, I think all these guys are really fair game and I would be looking at buying them all. Unlike running backs where I think that there's going to be some guys that maybe are going to outprice my budget altogether. I don't know if that'll ever happen at wide receiver.
Okay. When I was looking to do the RB0, I was going to try to grab two guys in my top tier, and I was hoping that it'd be like a Mike Thomas and a Keenan Allen, who maybe the rest of the league weren't going to be as high on, and I had sitting in that top tier, and I thought, I think I budgeted about $1.40 for wide receiver position, because that's how I do it, right? When I go in, I don't do it for wide receiver one, wide receiver two, wide receiver three. Right. I say I'm going to spend a crap load of wide receiver, and then I just try to go find my guys. And so I had $20 total for running back, and I think $140 for my receivers. I thought, you know what, I'm going to try it in this league. I think it was just kind of the type of league to be able to do it in, because I wasn't sure. It's newer guys to auction and guys that don't play a ton of fantasy. And I really just thought they were going to be, you know, running the projections that Yahoo are going to show you. So I thought I'd have the potential to get some guys like that. And I thought, well, if I just hammer wide receiver and then maybe I'm going to get lucky and grab a Alex Collins for, $15, and then I could grab Crowell for a couple. Now all of a sudden, boom, there are my running backs. I use my flex and my bench. I have budgets for those. So really I'm looking for just, my RB1 and RB2. And I thought if I can get, like, I'd say Alex Collins and Crowell, I would be pretty happy with that if I had Keenan Allen and Michael Thomas on my team.
Oh yeah.
And still had money to go, right? Like I still would have been able to then still tackle, let's see if I look at my sheet here, then if I could get Diggs or T.Y. Hilton or somebody like that in that ballpark too, man, like I got three top 12 wide receivers.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
It was a standard, like just a PPR, like a pretty vanilla league, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think you go in with an RB heavy budget and a wide receiver heavy budget. That's the only two you really need. Like for me, I'm not changing anything at quarterback or tight end. It's just, you could probably take whatever you're spending on your RB heavy one and then flip it in your other one to wide receivers. And then it's probably going to be predicated on where the values are early on in the draft or who the first, probably even the first player you buy. Is it a high priced wide receiver or a high priced running back, which unfortunately, in most drafts, well, not say unfortunately, most people are going to nominate players they don't want that are high priced. So odds are you're going to be, the first player you buy is going to be a fairly decently high priced player. And that's going to probably go a long way into determining which strategy you're going to run with the rest of the draft.
Well, and I heard an interesting line. I forget which pod it was on. I'd like to credit the guy who said it. But in his experience, he was saying that in nomination order versus rankings, it's kind of like if you nominate a guy the fourth running back or wide, let's just wide receiver pod, so it's school wide receiver. So let's say you in the fourth wide receiver nominated off, you know, during the draft is Adam Thielen, because you're like, I'm going to put him out now and try to get a deal. He was saying that the numbers state that you actually won't get him for a deal because it, ranking and nomination order are tightly combined. So if you nominate a guy too early, you know, before what his rank would be as far as guys off the board, I'm probably not saying that right, but you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Then you're not going to find the deals. You're going to find the deals more so if it's the fourth wide receiver off the board and you're putting out Keenan Allen, that's maybe more of where you're going to find the deal than it is saying, I'm going to try to sneak this guy in. So you're right. The first few guys you're going to get are going to set your point because that's typically how it's going to go. And listening to that stat, it's the way it should go.
Well, and when you nominate early, when everyone has all their money, even if a guy say, so using Thielen as an example again, say he's your wide receiver 12, right? And he's the fourth guy thrown out there, the fourth receiver. Most people still have a decent chunk of their budget other than maybe the three guys that bought receivers already.
Right.
So even if you don't like Thielen a lot, and this is, again, knowing your draft was a good thing. Like, what are they using to derive their values? I mean, if everyone's using the same thing, the league is going to bid up to that point where they think, hey, that's a fair price.
Right.
And then maybe they all stop or whatever. There could still be a bidding war, but it's going to get to that point. So most times, because that's where everyone feels it has to get to. No one wants to let somebody steal them for $10 less than he should be or something like that.
Right.
And they have the money to do it anyway. And everyone's going to have the mindset, well, if I get stuck with them, meh, I'm getting them at a bit of a discount anyway. So chances are he's probably going to get up to that. So if it's not a value for you, like you're just throwing out a guy that you like because you like him, mm-hmm. then there's probably no point to it, right?
Right.
Which
there should be a point to everything. Like it's not nomination order and strategy is a pretty important part of the whole thing. And if you're just throwing out a guy without any thought because he's the next guy on the list, then you're doing it wrong, right?
Well, there's that too. Yeah. I mean, definitely there should be some thought process into, I mean, who you want to throw out. I mean, and when you first sit down as that draft starting in your mind or whatever, you should hopefully have about 10 guys. I think that here's the 10 guys that I would nominate. Right. And if someone does, okay, next guy, whether one of the guys is, you know, Odell Beckham, because you know, you got three Giants fans or Saquon Barkley in your league, like all those little things, what, you're going to go cheap at quarterback. So, you know, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers and then Russell Wilson. And there should be a bunch of guys that you have ready to rock, who you're going to nominate, and a sound reason behind.
Well, and I like to also too, like once you get your big guy, then you nominate everybody else in that tier. Yes. Like you just get rid of them. Oh, I got Michael Thomas. Awesome. Here we go. Next up, Keenan Allen. Next guy, OBJ. Boom, boom, boom.
I'm not spending $50 on another wide receiver. Yeah, so
done.
Let's nominate all those guys that are going to go for around there.
Yeah.
Yes, well, for sure.
I haven't looked back at my team that I drafted. So I did get Mike Thomas the other night, and then I got Golden Tate later and Chris Hogan. So those are my three starting wide receivers. And I did end up getting Isaiah Crowell also, so I have Kamara and Crowell paired up for the running back position. So, and then I just, like, the bench was just kind of flyers trying to figure out who's going to be the guy in Dallas, because I think if there's going to be one guy in Dallas, so I took Beasley and Gallup, and then, you know, who's going to be the guy in Washington? So I thought, well, let's go. It's going to be Perine. So if it's going to be Perine, then all of a sudden I got an RB1 for a dollar late. I'll take Peyton Barber too, because maybe I'll get a few weeks out of him in the start, and that'll help offset some of the stuff I'm doing at running back. So all of a sudden my team turned out to be pretty good, but I think that's a pretty solid wide receiver 1, 2, and 3. If it's Michael Thomas, Golden Tate, and Chris Hogan, and I got Chris Hogan for pretty cheap late in the draft, which I don't understand why he's going for cheap. So I'm like, what do you think about Hogan this year?
I like him. He's at the very bottom of my tier 4. I don't have the numbers on there, so I'm just going to pull up my rankings. Yeah, he's my wide receiver 26. I'm curious, how much did you get him for?
I would have to look back at the results. I don't know if it was like super cheap, but I think it was, I'm going to look and see. Like
single digits?
I think it was single digits. I want to say it was single digits. Well, there might have been a little bit of a battle on him though too.
I don't know. I've been moving him up slowly the last 2 weeks.
I'll see if I can pull them up. Oh, maybe I have
very quickly going. He could leapfrog Tyreek Hill even for me, who's my wide receiver 25. Like I don't know. There's just
I ended up getting for $16. I'm sorry, I'll backtrack on that. I ended up getting for $16. We got into a little bit of a war, but I had money to go. That's right. Now I'm remembering the draft. It was Golden Tate who I got cheap. I got Golden Tate for $13. So that's why all of a sudden I have money left on in my bank, but I can't account for that. I can't account for getting Kamara for cheaper than he has been going. And I can't account that, I got Golden Tate for $13.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I saved $10 there, but it was a little bit later in the draft too. And I'm like, I don't know what to do now. You know what I mean? So I still got the guys I wanted. I just saved money. I just felt like my mother-in-law.
Put it in a low interest savings account.
I'll use it for fab money later. I don't know.
Yeah. But I like that trio. I mean, yep.
I think there's potential there for it anyways. And I we'll see what happens, but it was one of those things where I got a player that I wasn't necessarily hoping to get. And it was an expensive player. And then my strategy kind of went out the window and lots of chicken scratching on the side. Okay. These are the next, and that's kind of how I do it. I said that in the pod too. Like, all right. I've got Kamara now. Okay. Boom. That's gone. So here are the next five running backs I'm going to look at. And I just kind of chicken scratch on the side piece of paper. And then on the same side piece of paper. All right. Recalculating. All right. I can still go hit a big name receiver, obviously. So I'll go take Michael Thomas. And actually, I think I had Michael Thomas first and Kamara came in after. But, you know, oh, I can still go after. I still have money. If I can get if I was going to go RB0 anyways, right? Like, yeah. So I had $20 budgeted for my starting running backs. Well, so now I thought, well, now I'll make it $55.
Well, and I think you did it. Like, smart in the sense whether you go wide receiver heavy and it's your wide receiver 3 and 4, or you go RB somewhat heavy, we'll say kind of like you did. Yeah. Maybe we'll call it even more balanced. You know, you got a top running back, you got a top receiver. So then just go through these like tier 3 and tier 4 of receivers and just pick the values out.
Right.
Like you took Golden Tate for almost half price. I mean,
yeah,
I got him. He's my wide receiver 14. You know, so yeah, to get a wide receiver, like a high end wide receiver 2 at, what'd you say? $13?
$13. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think you're going to take that all day, right? So, right. And I think those tiers, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, Diggs to me is a value. We could see Doug Baldwin maybe creeping down, hopefully, further and further and further.
Well, he went for 23 in this draft.
Yeah, I mean, that's not bad. Like, if you know he's going to play, be ready for week 1 for sure, then that's I think, really good. But, and we have been kind of seeing that his price come down, which makes sense. I mean, he's hurt and that's obviously going to play into things, but like, Tate is a value. Demaryius Thomas is a value. Those guys are all my tier 3.
Yeah.
So, I think you just want to try and pick out of there if you can.
Well, and in this tier, in this last draft, we did see like Demaryius Thomas. He went for 26, so a little over AAV. Yeah. Adam Thielen was right around there. He was a 29. If we keep trucking, Allen Robinson was at
what was Diggs? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, Diggs went for 31. Okay. And we did have a couple of Minnesota fans in the draft, so that,
yep,
you know, we did see T.Y. Hilton go for 33. So that was a little
bit. A lot of drafts. Thielen going for more than Diggs.
For more than, yeah. And Thielen went for 29. So it was, they were right there. $2 difference.
But, yeah.
No, but even guys like some of the stranger ones were like, Jordy Nelson went for $8, like, and in the middle of the draft when everyone had money. Robbie Anderson went for $14. yeah. Kelvin Benjamin went for $11. Yeah, like there was some big money thrown out there, but yet you still saw, you know, Corey Davis went for 8. What else do we see? Pierre Garçon went for 7. Alshon Jeffrey only went for $6.
Holy. How did that happen?
Blister and I were still in the other draft. And we were just trying to queue up three or four $1 guys. And then all of a sudden, going once, going twice, we both looked down at our computers and went, did Alshon Jeffrey just go for $6? And yeah.
I mean, kinda, yeah. I kind of like him this year. But
well, for $6, you got to love them.
Well, for six, I'm not even talking about that price. I'm just talking about in general. At $6, I would be thrilled to get them at that.
Yeah, no, it was good. So it was an interesting draft, but a lot of the things kind of fell the way you would expect them. So if you're going to, so let's take a look at, I don't know, let's move down into these, we're getting in a little bit murkier, these tier 4, 5, 6, where really guys' rankings are now kind of all over the place. Someone could be ranking, Juju at one place and Chris Hogan at one place, Amari Cooper at the top end. Like you've got them there and people like this a lot. These spots a lot differently, right? I think this is where your money's going to be made is in these tiers, Slim.
Yeah, I think this is, if you can hit here, you know, I think it's definitely going to really help your fantasy teams for sure. And there's some names that I think have a chance. Like I look at a guy like Marvin Jones and what he did last year. I mean, I don't think he completely replicates that from last year, but, you know, he just gets no love. If he can somehow be like, you know, that guy again, then he's a screaming value. Crabtree. You know, there's a lot of guys, especially at the top end, like you said, kind of tier 4, 5, or 6-ish range. Like we're looking at what wide receiver, kind of 16 to what 40 probably.
Yeah, like, right. Which I'm just kind of highlighting it on our average auction values thing and just looking at, and that's, there's a lot of green in this area, especially at the top half of it. As far as what we have as rankings and then what the dollar values are actually going for. Like, and you mentioned Marvin Jones right now, he's the second biggest steal in, the wide receiver world for us. Right now we've got Marvin Jones at the consensus 19 and, you know, we've got ranked 22, 17, 18. So he's our consensus wide receiver 18 going for $12. And typically the 18th most expensive receiver is at $22. So it's a $10 savings there. What do you think it is about a guy, let's say like Marvin Jones, that creeps up our ranking list, but everyone else is still pushing down? Is it all Kenny Golladay? Is it all Babytron?
No, I think part of it is, people go so bananas with running backs in their drafts that one, no one has money left to buy these guys. And I mean, like nobody, because, 10 running backs will go for $50 and or more. So everybody's spending on them. So then when you start getting into these wide receiver twos, no one has the money left to pay maybe what they even think they're worth.
Right.
So that's, I think, one thing. I think Marvin Jones just always just doesn't get the love that he probably deserves in terms of fantasy. So, I think that plays into it a lot too. You know,
right.
If you go back and look at his numbers the last couple of years, like he's a very productive receiver. It's just, you know, Golden Tate, I think, gets a lot of the hype. And he probably is undervalued even to some extent too, for whatever reason.
Right.
When you look at it, even with Matt Stafford, like when you go to quarterback rankings, he's fairly cheap and the dude, they throw the ball in the past a hell of a lot. They might do that a little bit less this year, but, I don't think the average fantasy gamer isn't considering that even. They just, for whatever reason, kind of forget about a lot of these guys in this Detroit offense.
Well, and you talk about the running back position going for so expensive, and like say the live draft that Blister and I were in just a couple of nights ago, the top nine, well, sorry, eight of the top nine running backs went for 50 or more, Kamara being the guy that was at 49. So if you look at it just in this, in this, it's a definite you just right there. I mean, we had $60 for Gurley, $55 for Zeke, $64 for Bell, $60 for David Johnson. So we had three guys over 60 or 60 and over. But where the real break at the running back position was right around that running back 10, where Leonard Fournette if you got them around our consensus number 10, went for $46, and then it was now falling into the 30s after that, you know. So, I mean, I'm more than happy to get Kamara at 49 if you're going to get Leonard Fournette at 46.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, just saving money, right? Because AAV is $61. And so I thought, oh, well, I'll $49. I'll just click pretend to everybody that I'm looking for a high-end running back so they can, you know, throw them off the scent. But that's kind of how it shook out. And you saw it in this draft too. If you're talking about, you know, in real life, that's what happened at the running back or at the receiver position too, where you had that was that tier of guys going for less. Tyreek Hill goes for $5 saving according to our AAV. $9 for Tate, $2 for Allen Robinson, $20 for Alshon Jeffrey, Juju went for a little bit cheaper. Brandon Cooks went for a little bit cheaper. So you're saving $3, $4, $5 in that tier, right? So you got to kind of keep that in mind. I think that's why having those average auction values are important. And even this draft, they went for less than the average auction values. Even Thielen went for less and, you know, so you got to consider those things earlier in your draft. Like, hey, I'm going to make some hay in that, tier three, tier four, tier five, or whichever way it is. But in that ballpark of wide receiver 16 through, 30 or whatever it is, I'm going to be able to save some money there so that don't be afraid to spend the extra $10 on the top level guys if you're going to go RB heavy or high end wide receiver. I think that's an important thing when you're going into your draft to remember.
Well, if I saw all those running backs going for fairly like expensive, yeah, I would probably be saying, all right, I'm going to make sure I get a top receiver. And I'm going to look for probably a value in my tier two of wide receivers. And then I might even try and buy like two or three guys in my tier three of receivers because I know that that whole tier is probably going to be a discount.
Right.
And I'm not even saying that you won't even be able to afford to get a decent running back that way. I think you might just be able to get a really good receiver core. There'll be values. You're going to have to do a little bit of value shopping still in those tiers, but I think you're still coming out with some pretty solid, fantasy players. And it's still going to give you the money to go and get, maybe not David Johnson, but you know, in your case, Kamara, somehow he goes for less than 50 when, the top dogs are all going for 60 plus.
Yeah.
But you know, even if it's, you end up with, you know, Devontae Freeman or Kareem Hunt in some instances or whatever, but
I don't know. And I did, we talked about it a couple of shows ago where I'm sure it was you were talking about having a slot on your sheet for writing down what the values were. And I usually kind of do that chicken scratch on the side, but I've never really had a column for it. So I did it this time and it's a lot easier to look at. So on my cheat sheet, if you go to the website and have the membership, you can just print off my sheet or do whatever edits you want and print it yourself. But I do have that dollar value there right beside the AAV. And so it's really nice to be able to see. The next thing I'd kind of like to do, and this might evolve by the time we get to our big draft, is maybe have a plus minus column and then, but I do it on paper, but if you were doing it on a spreadsheet, it would automatically.
I put that on mine last year, actually maybe the last 2 years. On my budgets, I had them all on one spreadsheet and I just had, a plus or minus tally that kind of kept running.
And did you put that in as a formula then? Did you have your AAV in one column and then the dollar value in another that they went for and then it just automatically calculated for you?
I can't really remember. Or if I just actually even just did a running thing where it might have even just been a sum where I just put like 2 minus 3 plus 4.
Yeah.
And just it would spit out a positive or negative number. Just to give me an idea of how far above or below I was expecting, we were based on what should be expected in terms of the prices of all the players that were bought.
I do find that handy. I do normally write it down, but I just chicken scratch it in the, like beside the guy's name. It's normally what I like beside the player's name. And then, but it's not really easy to see. So I'm happy like this year I decided I was going to put it in a separate column. I did have the computer in front of me because we were potting and doing all those things. So I was just documenting it that way. But normally I just have it on my pieces of paper that I'm doing it. But I have added that column this year, but I would be interested maybe, to use that plus minus. Might try that on a draft, coming up here and see what that looks like. See what that looks like. Okay. So wide receivers, you're talking about trying to nail someone quick. We're going to try to make some money, in those, later tiers. Any, let's say high upside guys that you think, you know, later in your draft that are going to outperform their dollar value?
I think like Taywan Taylor seems to be this popular guy right now.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. I'm just looking at my, like, I call them the cheap flyers. Tyrell Williams on this list for me. I got Cole Beasley on there. I thought you would like that.
Yeah. Well, hey, they say he's not coming off the field right now.
Yeah,
I know. He's on the field. He's on the field. So that's why in my draft, I decided I was going to go Cole Beasley and I got Gallup cheaper later too. And I thought one of them's going to hit. I'll drop the other one, but one of them's got to be the wide receiver one. I mean, maybe it's Hearns, I don't know.
I have Hearns on here too, but he's at the very bottom. My worry with Hearns is he's hurt and
yeah,
it's, they're kind of, I don't know. I haven't seen anything real concrete on the extent of it or anything. Like if he's not out there, I just feel like it's someone else is building rapport.
Yeah.
Beasley wasn't great last year. I'm not going to put that all on him. I don't think Dak was necessarily that great either, but, that, you know.
Yeah. He wasn't great, but he doesn't come off the field. He doesn't come off the field and you don't have Dez there and you don't have, Witten there. So right. Who is he throwing the football to? Like if you're just chasing targets, the wide receiver one on any team, like if it's Kelvin Benjamin, if he's the wide receiver one with the Bills, like then don't, you can pay for him because he's going to get 100 plus targets. And if he's your wide receiver flex or wide receiver five or whatever it is, that's great. So I thought, well, I'll just take both of them and one's going to hit and I'll drop the other one and get a waiver wire.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, yeah, I think that's something that you need to look into. Like you said, at this point in the draft, if there's still a wide receiver one, a potential wide receiver one on the board, that's a guy that you have to target, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I think Dallas falls into that category. Jacksonville, sometimes like, I'm not sure who the actual wide receiver one is and end up being on that team.
Yeah.
So I know on all the drafts I've done up to this point, I probably at some point in the draft taken a stab on one of those receivers, whether it's Westbrook, earlier on. I know I took Moncrief. I don't know if I own any Keelan Cole anywhere. I feel like D.D. Westbrook is one guy that I kind of keep going to.
Right.
And he's on this list as well for me. I just like his, what he can offer as a wide receiver, whether they choose to use him in that full capacity. I don't know yet, but if I'm going to take a flyer, I'll take it on somebody who's at least shown like in college, he could be a productive receiver and has what looks like the physical skills to do that. So I don't know how many other guys in that roster. I saw DJ Chark getting pumped up today about that, but I don't know. I'd rather not take the rookie, but.
Right. Well, and I even think if you can get guys to slip and fall, like, you know, Cooper Kupp doesn't sound sexy, but he's, you know, he was productive last year more so than any of us thought he was going to be, or Kenny Stills, right? Especially now with Devontae Parker, he's banged up and those types of things. Like, you know, Funchess, if he falls, like I'm just looking in your tier six here. Right. Those are all guys that definitely have potential to jump. And I think, you know, are going to outperform probably what you pay. And hey, I wouldn't fall asleep. I was waiting for this on our last draft too, is Julian Edelman. Like, we know what's going to happen when he shows up.
Yeah. So do we though?
Can you? Well, I mean, what do you think? Do you think he's going to show up and be Danny Amendola, or is he going to come back and be Julian Edelman?
Or injured? I don't know. Like I'm just not. I'm not really just thinking. I don't know. here you go.
Yeah.
Get in there. Cause I think Chris Hogan's good. I think Gronk is good. I think they will be utilizing the running backs. Yeah. With Jordan Matthews sucking and, Eric Decker looking like he's sucking a little bit right now. And it's definitely the depth chart's thinned out, which would bode well for Edelman. I mean, if you talked to me a month or two ago, I would have felt a lot more strongly that I was not going to ever own Edelman.
Yeah.
I still probably will never buy him because I don't think he's going to go for, cheap enough for me to warrant owning a player that's going to be suspended. But,
so how cheap is that? Like his AAV right now is 6.
He would have to be for me probably, going for like 4 or less.
Okay.
And I just don't ever see that. Like even in your draft.
He went for 17.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. This is where mock drafts, people that run out of money doing dumb shit skew, you know, what he, like there's $17 and I got Golden Tate for 13.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who I'm taking 100 times out of 100.
Okay. Right? So here's guys that went for less than Julian Edelman in that draft. Josh Gordon. Are you taking Josh Gordon or Julian Edelman?
Ooh. I'm actually taking Gordon because I honestly don't think there's anything wrong with him. I just think he just doesn't want to be on TV. So, I mean, I'll take Gordon.
Yeah, Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, Alshon Jeffrey, Pierre Garçon, Chris Hogan, Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, Crowder, you know, Funchess, Emmanuel Sanders, Sterling Shepard, Sammy Watkins, Robbie Anderson, Jordy Nelson. But those are all guys that are ranked above him that went for less than him in this draft. And I don't know that there's a huge Pats fan outside of Blister, but he doesn't pick Pats because he's smart. He doesn't like just, he picks with his head, not his heart. You know what I mean? But yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people don't they factor in the fact that he's missing games, but they don't think about what that does. Say you start 0-4. And I'm not saying Edelman is going to be the cause of that, but if you spend $17 on a player that's not playing those first 4 weeks, and now you're rolling Allen Hurns, say, in your starting lineup because you have to.
Yeah.
Just as an example. And you start 0-4, you're probably fucked.
Yeah. You're out of the playoffs.
Most likely. To me, it's not worth that to even have that guy wasting a spot on my roster at that part of the season that I got to wait until week 5 to even think about playing. I don't know. That's just the way I look at it. And I don't think a lot of people do. They just look at, yeah, I know, but when he comes back, he's going to be good. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not even a given. And then again, like I said, if you start shitty, it doesn't matter anyway. Like, that's all happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a good team. Maybe there's an injury. Maybe you just got bad luck and you start 0-4 and it sucks because you're like, well, fuck, what a waste of a year.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I wasn't going to take him at 17. I don't even know I can't remember who took him at 17, but yeah, it was pretty, it was kind of a whoa. Even when Jordy Nelson went for $8, we were kind of like, whoa. So
yeah, it's a little bit higher than, but again, that's, there you go. All that money that everyone saved, not buying guys in tier 3 and 4, just so they could buy these guys in tier 6.
Well, I think
that's when you should be going and saying, all right, I'm gonna pick these tiers apart and then I won't buy any of those cheap guys and I won't need to.
Yeah, I'll get Golden Tate for $13. Sold.
Well, or you'll have 4 or 5 good receivers already. You won't need to roster.
Right.
Or you can have 4 really solid ones and then just go to the cheaper flyers at the end and try and hit a couple home runs. But
and go that way. Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, and in that draft too, I did just kind of load up with RBs and flyer receivers, but lots of RBs. I did get, you know, CJ Anderson and Rex Burkhead. I was happy to get there. Tevin Coleman, who else? Peyton Barber and P. Ryan. So I was just trying to then, you know, I was pretty established at the wide receiver position. But now if I could find another, let's say, RB1, like out of a Burkhead or, you know, if Tevin Coleman is flexible as it is anyways, but all of a sudden you get an injury and he's getting 300 plus touches, you know, Peyton Barber might be the starter there. So great. If you get him for the first few weeks before they make the move to the rookie, then, you know, Bob's your uncle. My tight ends on this one. Jared Cook and Charles Clay. Like I don't love them.
My boy. Jared, fine.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. But I did take Charles Clay late too because I think he could be the number one in targets in Buffalo. You don't know who it's going to be over there.
No, you don't.
Right? You know what I mean?
Corey Coleman.
So, yeah, exactly. So like, well, then why not? Right? If you could get him for a dollar late in the draft and he ends up being top 15, all right, good. I'm more than happy with that. So
yeah.
Anyways, I was happy with my team. It was a weird thing. Like, I mean, I always have lots of money left over, but this time I had lots of money left over and I wasn't like, oh, if I only would have. I'm like, no, I'm actually pretty happy with it. So we'll see what happens.
The sounds of it.
Yeah. It's okay. And then I did end up getting Will Lutz as a kicker in the Baltimore defense, because they're playing Buffalo week one. So I thought, well, and that's how I look at those things, right? Like, who's kicking in a dome? And I'll take that kicker. Hey, whoa, and I was like, oh, another New Orleans guy. Sure. Tag yourself to a high.
Whoa. This isn't a kicker podcast. So no, you're stop right. yourself right there.
And I did. You're right. Take it off. And then I did went Baltimore. Who's playing, let's say, Buffalo or the Jets or somebody? Oh, Buffalo, because they'll be throwing picks. Perfect. I'll take the Baltimore Ravens. You know what I mean? Week one. And then.
Come on, Josh Allen, win that starting job.
Wasn't it last year if you took the team that played against the Jets every week, you would have finished as a top 10 DST. If you just screened whoever was playing the Jets, just play the Jets, play the Jets, play the Jets.
I could see that.
Yeah. Maybe it was 2 years ago. Maybe not last year. Maybe it was 2 years ago when they were really Trez or File. Anyways. Okay. Well, we thought we might be under an hour here, Slim, talking about wide receivers. And guess what? We're well over an hour. I know. That's what we do. But that's okay. It was good because we did talk about different tiers and some strategies within those tiers. Talked about trying to find where those dollar values are going to really help you out. Talked about how average auction values right now are, especially in those middle tiers, maybe inflated because of the mock draft data that's out there. Talked about a real life auction that, you know, we just went in and took a look at some of the things that happened within that. We answered some Twitter questions. It was a good pod, Slim.
It was a good pod.
But no blister.
Man, you got to do what you got to do.
So this weekend, I'm out. You guys are in. And talk to us what was going on the weekend.
You always put me on the spot.
I know. I thought you had it in your head.
I got a guest, but you've kind of been in talks with him.
Oh, yes, that's right. And then he didn't know it was I called him, was it Matt, but it's really Mike or the other way around.
It was Mike from the Fantasy Footballers. Yeah. He's going to come on.
That's right.
And, yeah, we're going to talk auction with him.
Pick his
brain. Look for that pod at the very beginning of next week morning commute, Monday morning, hopefully.
Woo! And then next week too, we're going to do a onesie pod. So talking about QBs and tight ends. I believe it's on the schedule on the docket coming up here. And then we'll have all of our positions kind of done.
It's coming up.
It's coming up here.
Probably, maybe next week, but it'll be coming.
Yeah. And we're going to have Ross Tucker on the show later on in the month. I'm going to be Tucker, on Ross John Tucker.
Bosch. We got a lot of guests.
Bosch too. Yeah, it's going to be good. That's why we're going to 2 a week. So, if you've got questions for us, don't be afraid to send them via Twitter at Fantasy Auction. If they're longer than that or you want to be secretive, footballauctioneer@gmail.com. Make sure you're heading over to the website, checking out the content that's there, and having a look at the membership area, 3 different levels for you to purchase from. So you can, you know, just get the spreadsheets. You can get Slim's premium podcast and the spreadsheets, or you can go for the top package, which has – all of the articles plus the premium podcast plus the sheets all put together into one. So that's over at thefantasyfootballauction.com. If you like the show, one way you can support us is to Go to your podcast app, give us a rate and a review. It helps us to move up the rankings. So that would be very helpful. Thank you very much if you're doing those things. And finally, if you want to send in your mock auction, or it's the time, if you have a real auction, send in your results to auctionmockdraft@gmail.com and we'll enter your name in for a free membership to the website. So anything else I need to add?
No, but I would love to get these, the real mock, real draft data. So I'll make you a deal. If you send me a real draft, I'll put your name in three times into the draw for every real draft you send in.
That just happened.
It did.
That just happened. Three entries for every one real draft you send. Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh, I like it. And it is much more valuable. You're 100% right.
Yeah, it is.
All right. So, hey, good luck on the weekend, picking some other analysts' brain. I will be in, Toronto. I think I'm going to Mamma Mia or something. I don't know, but
sure it'll be good.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Well, 175 smash, I think, to
anyway. Listen to music.
Well, watch people sing and dance and pretend they're in Austria or whatever. So it'll be good.
Cool.
All right, so some we will talk to you later, and for everybody else, I'll see you when it's springtime in the Rockies.
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I'll become